about?
Well, if he suffers from it, then we suffer from it too, because he's harmed.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, the final 15 minutes of Bathrob Spear's broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor. This is a show that airs twice weekly, Thursdays at 6 in the evening until 8, and then Sundays at 11 o'clock in the morning until 1:30 in the afternoon. You can be a part of the show, of course, by calling in at 427-3772. If you want to be a guest on this show, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And it looks like we have another caller coming in there. Is this a caller that wants to be on the air?
The development plan, right?
You're talking about the beach area.
Here it says Vision for the Future.
Oh yeah, this is from the Coalition for the Beach Area.
Right.
I got a copy of it here, actually.
And I'm looking at it, and it sounds really good. You read the whole thing, and then it says on the endorsers list, Nani Alejandres, who works for Bodies Unidos, I saw his name on there, and I'm just wondering, why would you support something like this when, there's not going to be low-income housing, all these bad things that the plan is going to do. I just don't understand why someone like him would support this. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. I also noticed another strange name on there, right under his name, Esther Bradley Delgado, of the Daily Bread Food Pantry, who is, I have a great respect for her work for hungry people. And I'm just very surprised. What I'll try to do, though, caller, is investigate this and get back to you. If you listen to the Sunday show, maybe we can have an answer for you on that.
Great. Maybe you could call up Buddy Sunios and ask them, because sure, I don't know if they don't understand what's going on. I'm sure he's informed.
Well, perhaps what you can do is give a call, and you can maybe if we can put you to work and have you find out and report back on Sunday.
Great. What time is the show again?
The show begins at 11 and goes until 1:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And again, the number you should write down, you probably have already, is 427-3772. And this also applies, by the way, to anyone else who's listening. If you can't call in during showtime, but you want to say something on the air, give me a call at HUFF headquarters. HUFF is an acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And the phone number is pretty easy to remember. It's 423-HUFF, 423-4833. So you can do that if you want, caller.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Hey, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I also want to point out that we actually had an offer by Phil Baer to be on the air, but we are so swamped for time, and we're about to be bumped by Uncle Dennis, who comes in very promptly and likes to have his 2 hours. He's got a lot to cram into his 2 hours. His show on Earth First is full of information, vital information about environmental concerns. We really have to kind of move right along here. Hopefully we'll have Phil on the air, either a taped interview with him or possibly a phone interview. Who knows? Maybe we can even coax the old codger into the studio on Sunday. He reminded me, however, for those who do want to engage in some kind of real activism, and I keep urging the Beach Area Working Group to get their butts out on the street and do some fast, fancy, flashy stuff before this, it's almost too late. It's the 15th is the plan. The last chance to debate the plan, of course, is the 15th, as I mentioned before, September 15th, Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock at the Civic. There is a meeting of the Beach Area Working Group and other opponents of this Seaside Company giveaway on Sunday, which will be, I guess, the 13th, at the Calvary Episcopal Church. It's the big red church downtown across from the Nickelodeon, for those of you who know the downtown area. That's at 7 o'clock on Sunday. And for those who want more information about the Beach Area Plan, and possibly, caller, the answer to your question, if you're still listening on the air, I should say off the air, by your radio, is to give a call to Phil Baer. He is taking calls for the Beach Area Working Group, although this is not their official number. It's 423-0170. Again, 423-0170, so you might want to give him a call straight away. And we're also going to, of course, at that time be talking, on Sunday that is,
more about what the city attorney has to say about all this, because one question that's come to mind for me has been, why is this plan being rushed? I mean, is anything going to actually be done by the city council that cannot be undone by the next city council? And of course, Michael Rotkin and all the proponents of the plan, or at least Rotkin, I think Kennedy has said this too, know anything we do can be undone by the next city council. Whereas critics of the plan are worried that memoranda of understanding or contracts can be signed and set in cement. So I contacted the city attorney, John Barasoni, to get his perspective on that. He claimed that nothing could be done within the 6 weeks between September 17th and the November election that would allow anything to be set in concrete that couldn't be changed by the city council. I went back to Phil Baer and asked for his view. Phil said, that's not true. The 3rd Street realignment can be started immediately through the redevelopment agency and through the planning department. I called the planning department, left them a message, got no response, but Barasoni did return my second call and discussed with me the what could be done. He said, it is true, for instance, that that what could be done is appraisers could be hired by the planning department to appraise the property, but that's about all they could do and during the period of time between the city council approval of this plan on September 15th and the November elections in early November. Whether he is accurate, we are going to try to find out through continued dialogue and discussion on this subject, the very controversial Beach South of Laurel plan. I'm going to now turn to continue the interview on the street with Lloyd Lawrence. We have an intervening interview with Jeannie, who you may know, again, as I said, is the woman who rides a bicycle downtown. She's great deal of pain a lot of the time. She has a back injury, and she reports a problem with a police officer as well. Hi, to give us a hug and say hi. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Jeannie, I was told about 2 or 3 weeks ago you had an incident with a police officer near the Pacific Cookie Company.
Right. I coasted my bike from the curb to 10 feet from the curb over to park it in front of the cookie store, and the guy has been kind of unfriendly to me before.
You know who you're talking about?
I don't know his name too well.
Uh-huh.
And he stepped in front of me. I was coasting on the bike. I hadn't gotten off the bike, but I wasn't riding the bike. I wasn't sitting on the saddle. My feet were on the ground, and he stopped. He saw me. He was in front, walking down the Pacific, and he saw me and stepped in front of the bike before I could stop, so that I was forced to run into him. And I said to him, I said, you forced me to run into you. Why did you do that? And he said, I decided to give you a ticket for riding on the sidewalk. I said, I wasn't riding. I had my feet on the ground. I was just coasting it. And he saw me, and he just put his foot right in front of the front wheel without warning me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm giving you a ticket for riding your bicycle on the sidewalk. I said, I wasn't riding. I was only coasting it, and, you know. So I think it's dumb. And I want to go to court.
When was this? What time of day?
During the afternoon, mm-hmm. on the 13th of August.
And were there any witnesses?
No.
Actually, I think there was apparently a German gentleman who saw you and became very angry at the police officer for giving you a ticket, because a number of people saw this and they felt you were being harassed by the police officer.
That's what I felt like too. I felt that way. Earlier in the day, he had singled me out for something else.
Same officer?
Yeah, the same officer. And I had felt like he was like persecuting me or just riding on me. I don't know why.
What was the earlier incident?
And I was riding up Pacific, and he wanted me to, I don't remember. He wanted me to stop. I wasn't doing something right with my bicycle, and then he admonished me that, you know, and this is one-way street, and you can't ride the wrong way on one-way street.
Were you riding the other way up the up Pacific?
I wasn't. I was riding in the right direction.
You were?
Yeah, so I said to myself, what is wrong with him? And I just felt like he was singling me out.
You have a copy of your ticket?
Yeah.
Can I see it?
Yeah.
So, Lloyd, you say that there is a man you're trying to help into the mental health program whose camping gear was taken by police?
That's what Gus tells me. Gus tells me that they ran him out the West Cliff area, the same area that we have in question here. And that I said, well, where's your sleeping bag? And he says, the police took it away. And so my daughter and sons bought him an executive brief type thing to carry on an airline, and a very light blanket so that it wouldn't look like camping, and tried to help him find a way.
When was this? Did this happen?
A couple of weeks ago. Like I say, I came over here to get out of the heat from the San Joaquin Valley, and I have 10 kids in San Jose, so I go to their homes and park in the driveways of their homes when I'm in the area. And then I have 48 grandkids, so I get in there and do a lot of grandbaby hugging, you know.
I see.
And I have 15 great-grandkids.
What a great-grandfather you are.
And well, I certainly wasn't treated like anything great this morning, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
That's very disturbing, to see that kind of conduct. And I know it's a hackneyed statement to say it's Gestapo tactics, but...
That's how it felt?
That's how it felt. I just imagine how the people in Germany with the Gestapo presence, I just felt that way. I thought, God, is this what I went to war for? You know, I spent a year in combat. 10,000 of my buddies in that year died. You know, the 50-some thousand that died in Korea. And it makes you wonder, what the hell is going on in this country? What's happening? You know, this is like a police state here.
They're trying to gentrify the downtown.
No, I have to say this in all fairness. I have observed wonderful police officers doing wonderful things in this city and on this street here on Pacific in the 7 weeks that I've been here, dealing with the homeless and what have you. I cannot say that about three or four of them that I've seen that are not right. Just not right for the job.
Thank you, Lloyd.
Okay, thank you.
And that was Lloyd Lawrence talking on Sunday night about his experiences on Sunday morning with Officer Brent Northrup. We're now about to go out on a funny note from the Free Radio Santa Cruz's, actually it's the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe again, so hang tough, Shaz, you get 25 seconds.
Well, thank you, folks, for tuning in to Bathroom Spear's Broadsides.
It's
and
not Bathroom Spear, it's Bathrobe Spear. You're going to get it, Shaz.
Yeah, well, I could use some more of it, so thanks.
Use a bathroom, I would think.
Yeah, you said it.
Thank you, Shaz. And join us again next Sunday at 11 o'clock when we shall return 96.3 FM.
We were afraid of that.
Well, it's going to happen.
They knocked on my door about 4 p.m. They had feds written all over them. I could tell by the wriggling antenna, six legs, and the little metathorax that they were the FCC. They told me they were tracking pirate radio broadcasters. Smart ones. Broadcasting from cars, broadcasting from inaccessible mountaintops, broadcasting fresh perspectives and unusual music. It was their job to put a stop to it, and they needed my help. The money was good, so I took the job. Although the FCC guys gave me the creeps, they kept running behind the refrigerator whenever I turned the lights on. We tracked a signal to a private residence near Brisbane. We could hear them laughing inside the house. It sounded like a real party. We were there to spoil that party. The way the FCC explained it, the airwaves belonged to them. Why is that, I asked them as they got ready to slip in through the cracks in the floorboards. Because they didn't buy a license, they answered, their trochanters rubbing in anticipation. How much is a license, I asked. Between 50,000 and 100,000, they answered. Suddenly, I realized I was at the wrong party. The micro-broadcasters weren't hurting anybody. As a matter of fact, their music was fresh, their perspectives unusual, and the flavor was decidedly not corporate. Hold it right there, radio people. We're the FCC, they said, antenna waving. And they banged on the door. But these radio people were smart, very smart. They knew the FCC had no warrant, and they knew the FCC. They turned some bright porch lights on, and the FCC scuttled away into the foggy night. I stood there on the porch for a moment, wondering whether to tell the radio pirates how much I'd like the program. As I walked away, I heard them talking.
Hey, man, how often does that happen?
Don't worry about it. You sprinkle a little boric acid on the baseboard, you may never come back.
I heard diatomaceous earth works, too.
I knew boric acid was non-toxic, but I knew it could kill. It crossed my mind to warn the FCC in case they ever came back. After all, they were my clients. And then I thought, nah.